reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. Let us pray. Teach us, God, to listen, to learn, to remember, to practice what these words invite us and call us to do. Amen. The teaching that we hear today, as I said, are one of the most difficult places in Scripture, but it follows a pattern that goes something like this. You have heard that it was said, and then Jesus turns around and says, but I say to you. And it wasn't like he was knocking the first statement. It was more like he was trying to deepen the statement by allowing us to get behind what the words are saying, to get behind the rules, or what people today call to get to the spirit of the law. So what I think is happening is that Jesus is raising the bar as far as expectations go for the Jewish people. They say, do not murder, or the commandment of Moses, thou shalt not kill. Jesus says, don't even get angry with your brother or your sister. And watch those words that are hurtful of others. They say, don't have an affair. Jesus says, don't even lust after a woman or a man in your head. Because if you do, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. And then he goes on to say, if you can't stop looking, then pluck your eye out. And they say, whoa! You can't stop doing this, then cut your hand off. And I think this is one of those times that we don't want to take the Bible literally. But Jesus is saying, if there's anything at all that is getting in the way of your being with God, then take it out. Although in his language, he was using metaphors of plucking the eye out or cutting your arm off. So some smart preacher does something similar to this by using the same pattern. You've heard that it was said, charity begins at home. You all heard that? Maybe. Because if our love was confined to just the people in our family, then that's probably not what we are called to do by this gospel. You've heard it said, and some of you will resent this, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But I say to you, the tree grows until it's dying. It lives and it learns. You have heard that it was said, a friend in need is a friend indeed. But you know, maybe the truer friend, that's the one who can anticipate your needs. You've heard it said, if it ain't broke, then don't fix it. But if we just let things be the way they are, then we get comfortable and we don't grow. You've heard it said, blood is thicker than water. Your ties of birth determine who is your kin. But God says, everyone that you meet on the street is your sister and your brother. You've heard it said that children should be seen but not heard. I say to you, it is time to live and respect the children. And you've heard it said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus says, hey, you can do better than that. Love your enemy. And one of my favorites is, don't take it personally. And we can say, sure, and sometimes that's true. But when it comes to following Jesus, say, please take it personally. Religion is not a private thing, but it is a very personal thing. And we live in that kind of time, when Christianity is privatized, when some people would rather not talk about it. Another way it's called, it's a la carte. When you go to a fancy restaurant, they give you a menu that is sometimes bigger than your face, right? The menu is about this size. So you go around that line by line, and then you pick and choose what you think you like and what you think you can afford. And some of those menus, they don't have prices. And they say, if you have to ask how much it costs, then you can't afford it. Well, that is the way that some people do church and the Christian life. They pick and choose those parts of these commandments that they want to obey. So they can say, well, I kind of like 1, 2, and 3, but I don't like 4, 5, and 6. Christians choose what parts of worship they prefer, or which parts of the Bible they would like to read, and other parts that they don't want to deal with. So this piece of the Gospel that we read today, Jesus is asking, and this is how his story began. He says, do you think that the Pharisees, the leaders, the clergy of that time, the professionals in the temple, do you think that they are following the will of God? And then it's like, whatever is your answer, Jesus saying, you got to do way better than the Pharisees. You got to do way better than them. And then comes those six things that we read today. Call someone a fool, and you're accountable for that. Look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. The ancients allowed the men to divorce. I say, don't go for it. Don't take any oath, because you shouldn't have to. If you really love God, your word is as good as it is. Forget about getting even with other people. That's where we read, if someone hits you on the right cheek, be ready to offer the left. And if none of this is challenging for you, if that's not challenging enough, try it. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. So those are some of the rules laid down by the ancients. As there are rules in religion, in society, and culture today. What is important to the writer of Matthew is to understand why they were there in the first place. What we are invited to do is don't just listen to it and hear it, go deeper. Why do you think there are motivations? Why do you think people would end up killing each other? And then again, there are many ways in society that we kill. For people who are homeless, for instance, they would tell the city of Toronto, if you don't provide shelters for us, then that means that you're abandoning us to the streets to die. So in some ways, our inability to take care of some people is equivalent to killing them. And I think it's fair to say that Jesus wasn't really interested in how well we are able to attend this rigid checklist of do's and don'ts. Because some of us can very easily say, I didn't commit any adultery today. I didn't pull out a gun and shoot anyone. So I guess I'm okay. And that reading has got nothing to do with me. I'm good. But Jesus is saying, not too fast. Let's go deeper into the reading, a lot deeper, and open our lives to the scrutiny of the Spirit that is within us. Not too fast to say, I'm clean. This morning, I was topping up the windshield washer fluid on the Jeep. And I got this, it's less now, you almost can't see it maybe. But I showed it to Brian. And Brian said, you can make a story out of that. So here's my story. I got dirt on me. This is your pastor speaking. In many ways, we can say we're clean. Each one of us got dirt on. And I want to draw your attention to a text. Somebody wants to answer. Thank you. Well, there's somebody there. Verse 23 to 24 says, when you are offering your gift at the altar, or at the table, as we say as Presbyterians, if you remember that your brother or a sister has something against you, leave your gift there before that altar and go. Go first and be reconciled with your brother or your sister. And then come and then offer your gift. Before we proceed in the spirit of that gospel text, I'd like to invite you now to do a greeting that comes to us from the Christians of Hawaii. Translated into English, it goes like this. I forgive you. Please, forgive me. And I ask you now to turn to the person next to you and just say that. I forgive you. Please forgive me. They say that there's this old tradition in the mountain churches in the Appalachians called the flower service. And I've never seen it done, but this is how they describe it. At the flower service, everybody in the congregation, if this was here, all of us, would bring a bouquet of flowers. And then we would place them on the table, or maybe there, in front of the pulpit. And these are not bouquets that have been arranged beautifully by a florist. They are large fistful of flowers from the garden and the wild flowers that grow in the fields and the forests of Appalachia. And then the minister would preach a sermon at Matthew 5, 23 to 24, which is what we've just read. And he would talk about, or she would talk about, the need for harmony and peace in society, in the congregation, and remind people of this text that asks us to first make peace with the neighbor before coming to worship. And after that, after the sermon, a genuinely amazing thing begins to happen. They pass the feast, which is what you've just done, with the Hawaiian greeting of, I forgive you, please forgive me. And everyone in that congregation would come to the table and they would take the bouquet that they put in there in the first place and they'd begin to go to every other person in church to apologize for any hurt feelings, any harsh words or misunderstanding that they have. Looks like there's trouble in Leslieville. And then from the oldest to the youngest in the congregation, everybody talks to everyone else, and they don't care how long it takes. And these apologies and the words of forgiveness and reconciliation are spoken, they are heard, and then people will then exchange flowers, sealing that relationship that has been restored, and then they will begin to move on until everybody has talked to every sister and brother in that church. And I think that practice is spiritually a very deep application of this verse from Matthew that we read today. It comes out of a deep understanding of what Jesus was telling us to do. Dig lower, below the surface of the outward observance. Be genuine, be transparent, be vulnerable. Each other. It is unimaginable to the writer of Matthew that Christianity should become like a veneer, like a thick winter jacket that we have with us, inside which we can walk these streets on a cold winter day, but we would take it off as soon as we're home and warm. If we want to experience what this is like, what Matthew 5 is like, then forgiveness is definitely one of the things we need to practice, because it sets us free from carrying all that baggage of resentment around. So whether it is anger or lust or jealousy or something else, it begins with acknowledging it to apply it to ourselves. It's like saying, I got dirt on me. Notice that every new person that comes into the circle in an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting would begin by saying, I am, and then they state their name. So it goes something like this. I am Raphael. I am an alcoholic. What's amazing about that is how many years it takes for a person to get to that place where they're able to stand up publicly and acknowledge that they're addicted to alcohol. So all throughout the text, if we can pick something out of it today, there is an encouragement to keep it real, take off the mask, drop the pretense, deal with the problem, do not sweep it under the carpet. Be in relationship, be forgiving of each other. And finally, the text ends with Jesus saying, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Now, what do you make out of that? Tell me. Where's that no? Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Let's hear from the... Did you do this, Michael? Did you buy this today? No chance to do it? No? Okay. Well, just now, those words, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. What do you mean? What do you mean? What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. It means when you make a decision and the other person doesn't agree, it's a lot kinder to be honest and truthful if the other person might just say, no, this is not for me.
Sometimes it's very difficult to, somebody invites you to dinner, how difficult is it to say no to an invitation? If you really can't make it.
Sure, I can't make it. Yeah.
No, no. And if tomorrow you're no longer friends,
well maybe there wasn't too much friends or very good in the invitation.
Yeah, Artie, what about that? Yes, yes, no, no.
I think it means your word is your bond. Whatever you say, you should mean. So that you're not presenting a phony face that people, after a while, will know what you say is what you really mean.
Now, there are some of us here who are patients. Yes, guys?
Now, tell me if you agree with this or not.
The patients of a tendency to say yes when they mean no.
Agree? I see David agreeing with me.
Now, it's not because we're lying to you. It's because, this is how we explain it to ourselves, it's because we don't want to hurt your feelings. Alright? So, and you need to understand that. You need to understand that non-Europeans, or Asians in particular, can sometimes be like that. They can say yes when they mean no. And without wanting to be dishonest, then culturally.
Yeah. Okay,
there's something similar to Barney was saying. Your word is your word. You stand by it.
Thank you.
we have to make a decision on whether if it's good for you, bad for you, something you don't like. I think we talked about it, so we can be mad at someone.
Yeah. It's also about not being too quick. I know we're reading the Dorothy rightly there. Not being too quick with just saying yes or no. But being able to, if Arlene says, if my word is something that I am prepared to stand on, then I better think about what those words are so that they do not come out lightly. So maybe this is something like, tell it like it is. Call it as you see it. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. None of this waffling about and not being committed. If you want to follow the gospel path, then give yourself totally, give your yes to it completely. And that means no more cherry picking, no more a la carte. At the end of the day, it's really all or nothing at all. In one of the most famous scenes from the science fiction movie Star Wars, Yoda, who is the teacher sage, is training the young Luke Skywalker to be a Jedi Knight. And Yoda gives Luke a very difficult task to perform. And then he looks at him, and the young Luke looked back at his teacher and said, okay, I will try. And Yoda said, no, there is no try. You either do or you don't. And I suggest that's what's being put before us. The other reading for today from the book of Deuteronomy says, I put before you today life and death. Choose life. Do it now. And I invite you, I do this in public gatherings, if only to get the message to become like fire in the belly. I'm going to ask you to shout a response to these words by saying just one word. I need you to shout it like you really mean it. Like your yes is yes and your no is no. You would say, now! Can you try that?
Now!
Jesus is saying, make peace with others.
Now!
Choose life.
Now!
Do it!
Follow
the way of Jesus.
Now!
The Spirit of God that gives us the strength.
Now!
For whatever changes that we need to make.
Now!
It's asking us that we forgive.
Now!
Because we are forgiven.
Now!
Now and now.
And now.
Thank you. Jesus is telling us, don't try. Do it. Follow me. It's your choice. Do or don't do. It's your fault. You gotta decide. Now. Amen.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. We invite us, O God, to come to you now. Now while there is still time. Now that we are still able. And so here we are in humble adoration, in confession, in thanksgiving, in supplication to you, O God, we come now and bless us now in the name of the one that you sent us. And lift up and bring close to your heart, O God, the names of these people that we call upon, that we lift up to you now. Please call the names of members of our community, listen to God, and ask for blessing for them today.
Jean Cork, Beth, Peter, Dorothy,
the other sisters and brothers, forgiven and forgiving. That is right, our Father.